Summer Chun Lee is here. See, I've known you for so long, I just don't know. But then it's good that we got the Lee in there, you know, shout out Street Fighter.
Yes.
Let's just say, let's just put right off the bat here, this is the informative financial, this was requested by many. I got like 100% on the poll I did on this one. What do we do financially for this entire situation that we're all stuck in? So I figured what better person to reach out to than one of the smartest mixed gals. On the not only Asian, but howling, cover the whole gamut.
It's United Colors of Benetton. Come on now.
That's an old reference, Summer. We may not get that out there, but I get it. I get it.
I mean, it's lit. Is that what the kids say?
It's lit. Just say lit. I'm sure.
Lit. AF.
Right. Something. Yeah. We'll put emojis up on this later. But then So as long as I have known Summer, for everyone out there, you're always in school. You have been in school since before you were born, making you the smartest gal, I think, I don't know, in the radius of what? I don't know. But you are the smartest gal, still in school now currently, because you are you're going for your doctoral of finance. Is that correct?
Yes, okay. That's correct.
All right. Which will make you like the even smarter money person.
Yeah, I think at some point you get like a bright red smoking jacket if you stay in school long enough. Yeah, that's the secret. They don't tell you that until you get into a PhD program. So.
Oh, hopefully it's velvet. So
it better be.
Right. Let's get right to this then before people tell us to shut up.
Okay.
We'll go right into. We got a lot of questions off the IG Live, and I'm just gonna go right down the path here. Let's go. Question number one: unemployment numbers have jumped. Yesterday, stock market goes up. Why is the culmination of why is the connection of unemployment numbers going up, stocks go up right off the bat?
Okay, so very good question. I'll take a step back and say that if you went to school, what they will normally tell you is that the stock market is normally what they call a forward indicator. Meaning it will give you an idea of what the economy is going to be doing later. It's going to catch up. But what, this is my personal opinion, but what I think is happening now, because everybody has access to information, everybody knows about the stock market, now you have this, what they call like a dislocation, where yes, part of the market is still forward looking, but it is also highly reactionary. The confusion becomes, well, if it's reactionary, we had really bad news. How come the market went up? And so one of the things to keep in mind is that even though there might be one huge piece of news that comes out, there's also tons of other things going on as well. And the tricky part about the stock market is you never quite know what the market or the people in the market are actually looking at. And so yesterday, I believe, yes, we had the worst unemployment numbers we've seen, I think, ever. I think it was 3 million, right? But what also happened was there was a lot of positive momentum for the stimulus package that Congress was trying to hash out. And I think they actually voted on it.
Right, that was today, right? Yeah.
Well, maybe that was today. But anyway, that was actually what most analysts are saying kind of drove the positive effects in the market. Is everybody's looking, I guess you could say one of the terms they say is whether or not a piece of news is priced into the market, meaning the market already knows about it and it's reflected in the prices. So a lot of people think the job numbers or the poor numbers in the job market are already priced in. And so now they're looking forward to that nice stimulus package that's coming through. So that's why yesterday you had this weird bad news, good news thing going on.
Right. So are we to assume that once people finally get these checks that we're going to see a big spike point-wise in the stock market? Is that automatic, or what will something weird happen to reverse that?
So the thinking, so there's no right or wrong answer, right? But if you do believe the jump in the market yesterday was because of the stimulus package, then in theory, that's done. And so there isn't any further increases in the stock market. You'll see regarding the news of the stimulus. Even if you say, hey, I got my check, maybe the market's going to be up. If the theory holds, we already priced it in. So unless they say, oh, we're going to do another round of stimulus, then maybe we might see the market react and go up at that point.
Gotcha. So another question here is, how low will the market have to get before things get really screwed, as if they're not already? Like, what is the lowest number before we see a shutdown? Another question.
Shutdown, yeah. So in terms of the actual stock market, I think if I interpret this correctly, in terms of the actual stock market shutting down. So actually, since the last major downturn we had in 2008, they put into place basically these what they call circuit breakers. And it did already happen. So basically all that means is if in one day the market just drops really, really quickly, it will automatically just pause trading.
Okay.
And I think there's probably even more prolonged mechanisms that they have. Maybe they do say, okay, we're just going to take the whole day off. If they see a lot of movement in the market, that movement is called volatility. Right. So if you see a lot of volatility in the market, then they'll maybe shut it down for a whole day. I would say a number is hard to come by because technically speaking, we could go all the way down. Okay, I don't want to alarm anybody because I'm not saying I think the market's going to go down to zero. I'm just saying, if we're up at this range here, the bottom is the bottom and the bottom is zero. Do I think that's actually going to happen? I don't, but again, who knows, right? If I knew what the stock market was going to do, I would not be working or studying.
Right. You're not being in school constantly every day.
The rest exactly. I just go buy that red blazer smoking jacket if I wanted it. I didn't have to earn it, you know. So
that's you're worth it.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, I guess just to say I wouldn't necessarily, because I think it makes sense to say, okay, let me look for a trigger number and then I'm really gonna panic. I would say if anything, honestly, depending on where you are in life. So let's assume your viewers, let's say they're maybe most of them, maybe between the ages of 20 to in their 40s, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I like it. Okay.
So in that case, most of your money's probably tied up in your retirement account, whether it's with your company that you work for or like an individual, like an IRA or something. If that is the case, then you have decades of investing to do. And so I honestly would tell you, don't pay attention. I know that sounds crazy, but if you can't touch it because you're 30,
right,
you can't touch it for another 30 years anyway. It's just going to make you get a hemorrhoid by looking at it every day.
Like on a Friday. But yeah. Why didn't they shut? Is it possible? Here's another question. Would it have been possible early on with the big point drop to just shut or pause the stock market for a few days? Is that possible? And why wasn't that initiated or implemented?
Yes. Yeah. So they actually did. In fact, they did. They did do a pause. That's what that circuit breaker is. But they don't want to do. So they did it for, I want to say, a few hours.
Okay.
The problem is, if you do it for a day, in terms of the stock market world, that's a long time.
Yeah.
And then you start, what happens is you start affecting a lot of the models that a lot of investments are based off of, meaning, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars that are assuming the mechanisms of the market are going to be in play. So
right.
Yes, the models and the projections that people have are going to be able to withstand a few hours of not trading, but I don't know if it could withstand a whole day to days of not trading, because the world is still spinning,
right.
Business is still going, people still need to make investments, they still need to manage their investments. They meaning big institutional companies, not necessarily your individual retail investor, but the big players, they still need to be in the market. So
right.
That's why they're going to pause it for a few moments, really.
Okay. What resources out there for someone that's not well knowledge in this that they can read? What sources do you find are the best ones, online or literature, podcasts, what have you? Anything that you follow?
That's like, yeah, so if you're looking for something more just news-based, you can kind of wrap your head around the events that are happening without getting too sensationalized. One podcast I like is called, actually, let me check out my phone. I think it's called Big Money. Felix Salmon is the host. That is the most British name that is in existence, that he's British.
Somewhat famous. It's got a street name, Felix Salmon.
Yeah. He has a streetwear brand. He's collaborating soon with
Velvet Jackets.
So, yeah.
All right. So we got a lot of questions coming in here. So this is good. So whichever one you find, you can share with us any kind of resources. Yeah. Literature.
What I might do is I might just kind of compile it, and maybe I can shoot it to you, and maybe, or you know, can post it to the Instagram or something.
Well, what I'm gonna do is I did with the Cabot is I'm gonna repost this on I'm upload on YouTube. So this is on YouTube, and I can
in the show notes or something.
Yeah, I can put that in easily. So all the information, find out, we'll get that on the YouTube version once that comes out, probably tomorrow. This is a good one. I wanted to throw this at your question. Would it be wise to change all my investments in 401k to conservatives, or will that even make a difference?
Very good question. Okay.
Chris, so, please.
Of course, the most appropriate answer would be it depends. The reason why is because, again, it depends on how old you are, right? So if you were to, and I would, you know, get this question a lot when I was working in the private sector as a financial advisor. So just the reason why it does depend on how old you are. So for instance, if you are 65 years old and you in theory only have a year or two left to work, then maybe we need to make some changes. But again, if you're 25 years old and you're going to retire at 65, you have 40 years of living, working, saving. Again, you know, this is broadly speaking, you probably don't want to touch it because you have your long-term allocation. So if that your long-term allocation is, say, let's just say, for instance, 80% in stocks and 20% in bonds or whatever the case may be, there's no reason to change it right now.
Yeah.
Because number one, you'll do the worst thing possible, which is called realizing your losses. Because basically what's happening right now is when you look at your account, and if there is a negative, I hope there isn't a negative, but if there is a negative, it's a paper loss, right? It's only going to be an actual loss once you sell the investment. And so that's actually what you don't want to do if you are on the younger side.
What if we're looking at people like 40s, like I'm 41, sorry. Mm-hmm. What about someone like myself? Do I still not touch it? Do I need to make changes here and there? Do I need to look at something differently than a 25-year-old?
Okay, so this is where it gets a little bit more of, it would be wonderful if you do have like an advisor to kind of walk you through it. But I will say this, if you think about the fact that, okay, if somebody's 40 years old, you have 20 more years of working, so 25 years more of working, but then you also have, in theory, another 25 to 30 more, let's say 30 more years, that gets you to 85. Yeah. Let's say 20 more years, so that gets you to 85. So in total, that is 45 more years of investment. So even though, especially to your younger viewers, they're thinking, man, 40 is old. It's really not.
Not at this point.
40 years.
At 85, I could still potentially be investing? Is that what we're saying here? Or
I am.
Somebody that's 40, is that?
I would say you're don't panic. That's the number one thing, right? Is don't panic. Don't make a decision in a panic state. That's the worst thing you can do. Right. So if you're in your 40s and younger, I say just ride it out. I know easier said than done, but there's a long time for your money to come back. It's very different versus if you are, let's say you're a 75-year-old person.
Yeah.
And then yes, maybe we do need to make some changes because we need to be cognizant of the fact that you are kind of at the later stages of your life. But yeah, you don't want to panic and make a bad decision in a panic state, which is what a lot of people do. And then they double whammy and hurt themselves even more by selling and making those losses real. And then they don't get back in. And so they don't participate when the market does recover. That's the real risk.
It's all psychological factors, right? At this point, you just don't want to panic and just keep saying is really the gist of this whole thing, right? You just don't want to pull out anything crazy. You don't want to add anything crazy. Just stay the course.
That's the name of the game when it comes to investing. Unfortunately, is it's not how smart you are. It's about how smart you are about being aware of your biases and your those the behavioral things. That's really what it is. Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. So we switch gears big time here. Here's another question.
Okay. Okay.
Hear your thoughts on this one. Your thoughts on digital wallets. Now, I don't even know if this is still even going down, but or even a thing, but to Bitcoin or not to Bitcoin? What? Okay. What's your take on that? I got this question, so let's roll it.
It's a fair question. So the problem with, okay, so number one, you should always be very wary about a topic that everybody is talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, so before Bitcoin, it was marijuana stocks and marijuana investments.
Yeah.
Everybody was asking me, like, what do you think? What do you think? Should I buy this cannabis? And I was like,
CBD oil. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but now it's Bitcoin. Just be careful about something you cannot fully conceptually explain. And what I mean by that is, tell me how you start with the product. Tell me how you process it to get to the point where it becomes this end product.
Right.
Obviously, I don't need you to, that's a little hard if you're talking about like a semiconductor or something, but I can kind of conceptually tell you, well, we do this, this is why we do this, this is why we do this to get this. I'm not sure about Bitcoin. I've tried to read it and it's very confusing. And, you know, I'm not a dumb person and I...
Oh, that's why. If you can't figure it out, shut it down.
And I just, I understand the benefits of it. I completely understand the fact that it's confidential and it's very efficient. But if I can't fully conceptualize, I shouldn't say not fully conceptualize, but if I can't kind of wrap my head around it, just broadly speaking, I tend to be very wary of it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're asking me to put my money into it.
Right.
The second thing I'll say, and actually the most important thing is, it's great if you have it as an investment, but if it's very hard for me to get out of it, then you should be really wary about that. You should be very careful, because I've heard of instances of people saying, well, I wanted to get out of my investment in it and I had no way to do it. Or the avenues that I used to use, either the company closed up or, of all of the investments out there, if you're looking at it as a way to use it as for what it is, which is a cryptocurrency, or it's the confidentiality purposes, then that's great. But if you're saying to use it as an investment, I wouldn't do it, especially because it's not regulated.
Okay, well, speaking of just practicality, let's go back to that.
Okay.
Another question, how should, and I think a lot of people are waiting for this one, how should one budget during these times? Stimulus or no stimulus? What's the plan?
Yeah.
You're gonna see my cat real soon. There it is. Get out of here. You're ruining the money here. Okay.
Okay. So this is the concept. I love this concept. It's actually from a book called The Millionaire Next Door. It's a fantastic book. It kind of has a cheesy title, but it's really about the profile of your average successful person. And so your average successful person is actually, obviously they make quite a bit of money, but they actually are great savers. And so the concept is you want there's defense and then there's offense. So the defense says, well, let's go with offense first. So offense in this regard just means how much money you make. It's money or cash flow coming into your household. So if you make a lot of money, you have really good offense. On the flip side is the defense, meaning you're trying to minimize the amount of money leaving the household. So the key is, not only do you want good offense, you want good defense. And what I find is the key for a lot of people is you actually don't need a lot of offense if you can beef up your defense. So what does that mean? This stuff is not easy. It's going to definitely be homework, but you will find that it's very, very eye-opening. So it's basically doing like an audit, or you're going to monitor your investments for like a month. A month would be great. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when you have your clients, right? And you want them, they're telling you, I want to lose weight. Or you, exactly. Sometimes you want to lose weight,
right? You got to break down.
Exactly. And then you say, well, the reason why you're not losing weight is because you're putting tons of sugar and cream in your coffee and you have 3 donuts a day.
Same situation, yes. So I think that's what comes back down to rationality again. It seems like just taking a step back and just not panicking and breaking down your month budget.
Yes.
It sounds easy as we're saying this now, but it is, I guess it's just emotions take over, right? Is that what you see when a lot of these people, when they would come to you for this advice, do they seem kind of like, eh?
Absolutely. It's always going to be the emotional tie. And I never want to downplay that, because it's not silly. It's real. We all have our emotions and how we feel about certain things. So I never want anybody to think that it's silly or not important. You should be aware of that. And I also think in terms of mindset, it might be good to just remind yourself, well, if it feels very hard to pull back on, you know, making these adjustments, you could kind of remind yourself, it's not necessarily going to be forever that we're going to be doing this, hopefully, right? The intention here is we want to just get through this we want to get over the coronavirus curve, right? And then hopefully things get back to normal. So it's not forever. And even if you think you're fine, that's great, but it might be good to just, you know, prepare a little and get some cushion or some buffer in your budget by just taking a look, because you'd be shocked at how much you spend, for instance, at Long's. Like when I did it years ago, I was absolutely shocked how much money I spent that long.
I'd like to see that report. Can we pull it? What were you spending at Long's like 5 years ago? I would like to see that. I'm sorry, I just feel like Dr. Evil right now with this. This is Kesha, by the way, everyone. Kesha with the dollar sign. She's here. Yep.
He looks thrilled, by the way.
Yeah, she's enjoying. She's taking notes. So when you have this $1,200, I guess is what they're saying.
Yeah,
we're going to be sending out to people. We don't know exactly what the unemployment extra benefits are that they're saying as well. But what is one to do with this said $1,200? Now, if someone came up to you for that, and based off whatever, they're probably their budget's well over $1,200 for a lot of people, right?
Yes. So
what would that be the initial thing to use it for? What do you think?
Well, okay. So it depends on who you're asking, right? So if you were a government official or you represented the government and you ask that person that question, they'll tell you spend all of it and spend it right now, because they want to immediately flood the, you know, they want consumer spending to go up to help the economy.
Right.
Now, I would say if times are tough right now, and they could be, and if this is going to help you buy groceries so that you can feed yourself and your kids, then obviously spend it for that.
Okay. Toilet paper, not, you know, just paper.
Well, I think you've got 12 cases of toilet paper. First of all, I hate you. No.
Don't worry. I'm coming after them.
I know. I honestly would say if you can save a little bit of it, just a little bit of it, that would be great, because it just helps to have a little bit of savings. Yeah, if it's not for essentials, meaning food, basically food. At this point, it's food or medication. That's one thing.
Right. Things that's tough to, easily.
Or if they're going to turn the electricity off in my house, and obviously I use it for that. But if you're looking at this check and you're saying, well, I could go buy, you know, a new phone, or don't do it.
Not right now. Yes.
Yeah, please don't do that. Save it, because I would like to say be positive, but on it, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen next. So.
Not even Kesha.
Kesha agrees with me. She agrees with me. Yes.
Yes, she's contemplating things right now. So, yeah. So, When they, okay, is this only a one-time thing? Now, do you know what the specifics on this stimulus is? Is this a one-time check, or are they going to do another one in May?
I haven't had a chance to look at the full package, because I believe that up until the last minute when they voted, they were adding stuff in, taking stuff out.
Yeah.
I know it is the most expensive bailout package in history, but if I'm looking back at what we did in 2008 when we had the mortgage crisis and everything like that, I believe it was a one-time check. So
that's right. We didn't want it, right?
Yeah.
In 2008.
2008. It was one-time check. So I believe it's just going to be a one-time check.
Yeah.
Up front. Yeah. But I have to go and look at the details for the rest of it. Yeah.
Well,
I'd actually be surprised if they do another check. I think if anything, they'd probably do other programs before they do another stimulus check. Yeah.
Right. And on top of that, we're also looking at credit cards have frozen everyone. We're looking at rent is getting frozen, mortgages getting frozen for up to 90 days for a lot of these guys. I'm trying to figure that out myself. I'm a home. And you know, she lives there, so I'm just gonna go over here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's like
she doesn't pay rent.
Oh, she's living in tax-free. And what is the mindset of all these guys freezing everything? I mean, I guess the buck stops there with like HECO. I don't know if this is a thing yet, but if HECO freeze, like not turning the power off on people, are we gonna not pay our electric bill come April 1st? I mean, can we just leave the power on, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just all these things getting frozen. If the world stops for that kind of a long period of time and then it turns back on again, what repercussions do you see financially in that sense? Are we all just going to have to rush out and pay our bills again in a big lump sum? Or will that affect everything, including the stock market?
Yeah. So this might get a little bit political, and I don't mean it to be, but if we had had an indication of a more coordinated attempt at, you know, controlling the coronavirus at the outset, I would have a lot more faith in this, the ramping up process to get back people back into the normal, you know, the normal
right.
schedule. But,
right, talking yeah, Easter, you know.
Yeah, like it would have been great to have faith and trust that our, you know, the administration would say, okay, here's how the rollout schedule is going to be. We're going to do it a gradual increase, or, you know, some kind of plan, but I don't think we're going to get that. So my instinct or my thought to that is it could get bumpy, in the sense of bumpy meaning confusion, bumpy meaning lots of changes. Maybe a company says, yes, you have to pay your bill now, and then they might say 2 weeks, oh, you know, sorry, you know, push it down.
Right.
It's not a satisfactory answer, but I think to just be ready for that, be ready for the instability, be ready for the confusion,
yeah.
So you're not upset or too upset by it when it does come. Yeah.
Right. I think by that time we're all just numb to everything, so I think it'd be okay.
Yeah, I mean, we'll basically be like, what's that movie with Sandra Bullock about with the thing, they couldn't see them. What's it called again?
I'll see the Demolition Man. You know when they say hi and you do that?
I was thinking about doing that, but then like nobody would get it.
We've reached Demolition Man. We're here.
Yeah. I don't know the seashells yet, though. I haven't figured out the seashells yet.
No one has, and nobody in Demolition Man has, but that's who used the toilet, right? No one had sex. No one's doing nothing. Taco Bell's winning. But no, that was not you're referencing. It was the can't see no evil, no. Bird box.
Bird box, yeah. Okay, yes. Got it, yeah. Gosh. We'll just be like that.
Tonight. So I basically, what this comes down to, did you have anything that you wanted to bring up that you wanted to make sure we got covered here? I'm just throwing out questions from viewers here. So anything you have on your end?
Actually, we covered a lot of what I wanted to talk about, but just to reiterate, you don't want to make permanent decisions in an emotional state.
Yeah.
Whether that's in a down emotional state, meaning you're sad or you're angry, or even an up one, like a positive. You don't want to be so elated that you make these big, big decisions that because you're too optimistic. So you always want to just pause and take some time. I know that seems like the craziest thing to do is to pause when the market's moving so quickly and things are changing so fast.
Right.
But in some ways, that's exactly when you want to just pause for 1 second and just make sure you're aware of basically how you're feeling.
Right.
Because that's, again, it's maybe it sounds a little, you know, woo-woo, it's and silly. It's not. It's really important that
it's rational behavior. It's rational behavior. Because I've heard on the other end, you know, this is another thing I wanted to throw at you, is a lot of people have been saying, well, why don't we invest now on something like, said, an Apple? Why don't we go invest now on something like a Facebook because everything's dropping or whatnot? I mean,
yeah.
Totally goes against what you're just saying, where we need to just hold. Are those guys just the risky risk takers that we just can't follow suit because we don't know because it's so volatile?
That's an excellent point. The problem with that line of thinking, and that Warren Buffett's really famous for, he says, you know, you want to be greedy when people are scared, you want to be scared when people are greedy. So this is definitely one of those times where you might say, I do want to be greedy because everybody's scared. The problem with that is for your average investor, most people aren't sitting on thousands of dollars of cash to go invest right now. You're fully invested in your retirement account or whatever, and most of your money goes to living day to day. So it doesn't actually pertain to you, right? If you have a retirement account, it's already fully invested. The last thing you want to do is change things now to get more aggressive. Just keep things the way they are. So really, those people that are saying, oh, I should buy Facebook and Amazon right now, in theory, if you've got 20 years, I say go for it. But most people don't. They don't have thousands of dollars in cash to go do this.
Right.
So I guess I'm saying, yeah, in theory, if you can handle the risk, because it's very risky to do something like that, it more than likely could pan out in the long run. But again, you're saying I'm going to give it 5, 10, maybe even 20 years if I do this aggressive move.
Right.
And I'm not gonna touch it. Most people just don't have, they just don't have the means to do it. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Ultimately. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it just comes down to how risky you are, how much money you got, and rational thinking here. It just comes
down to. Exactly. And that the combination of those things.
Right. Yeah. Well, any other questions? Let's see as I scroll through. Nothing. As of yet, yep. I think the world's just given up at this point. I think we'll just we pretty much covered the majority of this thing. Anything else final you want to add before we sign off here?
Yeah. Couple things. So and they might be a little contradictory, so I apologize if it seems that way. But first thing I wanted to share was something I heard recently that I think has been very helpful. It's more of a mindset thing. So not necessarily talking specifically about the financial markets or anything. But I saw this interview with this former Navy SEAL. And he was also an instructor. And so the number one... So, for those of you who don't know, the training to become a Navy SEAL is called BUDS. And they basically torture you and torture you and torture you. And people, the fallout rate is really, really high. And you're talking the strongest, fastest, toughest dudes on the planet. And most of them drop out because it's just, you're starving, you're freezing to death, you're exhausted. So basically, when they asked this guy, this former instructor, well, what is the number one tip to get through it? He said you should try to make your world very, very small. So what that means in their world is don't think about, I'm going to have to do this for I think it's like a 3-week program. I'm going to be suffering for 3 weeks. The moment you do that, he said, that's when they give up. And they said, I can't do it for 3 weeks. He said, don't do that, but don't even think about the next day. He said, all you have to do is think about lasting till the next time I eat, because they get fed every 6 hours. So I just gotta last till the next time I eat. So that really spoke to me for us, we're, you know, now we're talking about everybody in the sense of, if it does seem to be getting really, really crazy, try to make your world really, really small. And maybe even think about doing it, you know, every 3 hours or every, you know, I just want to think about the next few hours. I'm not going to think about anything else, just the next few hours.
Right.
And that means, you know, minimizing the amount of news you take in, because that's certainly not helping. So I try to just do it in the morning and then once in the late afternoon, and that's it.
Because yes, just eat away.
It'll just wind you up. So that probably will help a lot. Because really, you don't need to know every single second, well, somebody else just died. You know, it doesn't actually, it's just going to make you really, really bummed out. So
right.
Keep the world really small.
Topics here. We're tapping the psychiatry show I was going to do. Saves me time, Summer.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of nice, doesn't it? So,
you're welcome. Yeah.
Thank you. But that's perfectly said. That's just what we need to look at. We need to look at our psyche and our rationality, and we have to look at the internet. This is the greatest accomplishment the internet's ever created, was this entire pandemic. Because we're looking at this every hour, right? We're looking at this on Facebook. We're looking at every article that's coming at us.
Exactly.
Hour. We don't have the 6 o'clock news and the newspaper. It's gone. So, but that's what we should go back to kind of, like you're saying, to clear us out and just clear our head to get through, you know, 10 push-up challenges or not challenge.
See a cat, post a cat, was the one I like.
Until tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's awful. all right, maybe we got it. But Summer, thank you very much for taking your time, because I know you're in school. You're literally at school.
I am.
That's how important she is, everyone. They said, everybody stay home. Nope, screw it. Not you, Summer. You're going into school, and you're going to stay there. And that's
I had two professors that needed help, so I have duty calls.
The professors are asking her for help. Okay, this is the people. This is the woman I have on this show. All right, for all of you.
Yeah.
Upload this on YouTube. Send me the info too. I'll post it up.
Yes.
Upload this. I can get this up by tomorrow. So people that missed out on the beginning of this, it'll be up on YouTube. Full thing. We got like a 30-minute talk here. Be well, huh? Just take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And do kettlebells if you got them. You probably do. At your house.
Yes. Yeah. Stay active.
Enthusiast, this gal is. And shout out to her friend Irene.
Irene.
Questions on here. She's excited. Yeah. I hope she's here now. Oh, she is. She's on the edge. I just looked down and boom, her name's right there. So yeah, she's there. Thank you all for checking this out.
Thank you.
Watching this thing. Hopefully it was good information. And we'll be back. I'm going to be back tomorrow. So we'll keep this going. Thanks, everyone.